When you contact a host, the first thing they're going to do is look you up. So what are they going to see when they Google you? If they look at your profile picture, does it look like you? Have you got your cat? That's where you need to start.
Victoria Bennion is a UK-based podcast visibility strategist and founder of the best podcast guest booking agency.
Her mission is to help brilliant experts, authors, and entrepreneurs break through the noise by getting them booked on the right podcasts at the right time.
There's so many benefits to being a guest. It's a really intimate medium. Someone's listening to that. They've got you in their ears for half an hour. It's uninterrupted. You know, when you're on fast-moving social media, scrolling and it's quick, but this is long and it gives the listener the chance to really get to know who you are, like you, and trust you.
What was your biggest success? Does it matter how many followers you have? What defines a good podcast guest? In your experience, how hard it is to get somebody like a podcast to reply to your email?
10 podcasts come up with a long list of 100. I was pitching him to shows, and one of them, which was quite a big leadership company in America, I send the pitch and the one sheet is an interactive PDF, and they came back and went, oh my gosh, your client looks amazing. We would like him to deliver a series of webinars for our company.
People forget that podcasting is a networking tool as well.
Yes, they do.
Hello guys, welcome back to a new show of The Podfiles. Thank you so much for joining to this episode. I have here an incredible guest, Victoria Bennion, who is a podcast expert. She helps people to get on podcasts, to pitch themselves on podcasts, and she's really, really good. And today we're going to talk about that. Many people want to get on podcasts to get more exposure, to get a little bit of PR reach. Victoria is going to tell us all about that. So Victoria, welcome to the show.
Oh, hello, Bogdan. Thanks so much for having me.
We were just discussing about us collaborating together a little bit. And I went on your website and you were so responsive. Are you usually that responsive with your clients? Is that the way you talk with clients?
Yeah, absolutely.
Awesome. So tell me a little bit about you and also the story behind the best podcast guest.
My name's Victoria. I live in Dorset in the UK, which is on the South Coast. I originally trained as a journalist. That was my first role out of university, did journalism, but I quickly moved into communications and marketing because I found I enjoyed that a bit more. And it must have been 2019, I think, about 2019. So by this point, I had my daughter and I was doing some freelancing work. So I had just a handful of clients. And I took this course to update my skills in marketing. And one of the modules was about being a guest on podcasts. For authors, it was a great way to spread the word about their book, really help them become known. And I thought, this sounds interesting. I've never come across this before. So I talked to a couple of the clients that I had, and I was like, how about we try this? And I also met somebody who was doing the course. And he was running a business. He'd written a book on leadership. And he said, I really, really want to try this strategy, but I'm running a business. I don't have time to do it. Could anyone do it? And I said, oh, I could try. So that's kind of how it started.
That's really interesting. So basically, you started as a freelancer while you had your baby, basically, right? So yeah. That's quite interesting. Was the baby kind of like one of the decision factors of getting freelance mode?
Oh, yes, definitely. So I guess I'd been freelancing for a few years, so 2018. So my first child, she was born in 2011, and then my second in 2014. So they were little, but I suppose actually I've been freelancing, and they were now, one was in school, one was preschool, school age. So that's where I was turning my attention to, okay, what am I going to focus on?
And before that, did you work like in a normal job, 9-to-5 job or something like that? Or did you have a period like that?
Yes. Yeah, I did. So I did quite a lot of work in education in the communications marketing departments. So before I had my daughter, I was in London. And one of my roles was at University of the Arts London. And I worked in their communications department. Before that, I'd worked at Bournemouth University in their communications and various before that. So yeah, 9-to-5 roles before that. But that was never really what I thought I would be doing. I never really pictured myself working for someone else in an office. It wasn't what lit me up. And I think really what I did was I used when I had children as like my break, as in, okay, I'm done with this now.
I love it. What you're doing right now, it wasn't really something that people were doing 10 years ago, for example, right? So it's something that is quite new. You saw the opportunity, you took the opportunity, and it just happened basically. So was that quite fast for you? What do you feel like it started to roll quite fast, or was it like more of a slow growth?
What helped me make the decision was I was in a business group and I had a one-to-one session with one of the mentors there. And he was trying to get me to focus. And he said, okay, so it's a bit of a scattergun, kind of you're doing more what people are asking you to do based on what you've done before. But, you know, if you really want to grow a business, you need to go deeper, you know, on the one thing. And I was really nervous to do that, honestly, because I thought I can't turn away work. I don't know if I want to turn away work. But actually what he said was just start, change your website over to saying that this is what you do. And then, you know, if somebody still approaches you like a former client and wants you to do some marketing work, you can still do that. But, you know, while you're sort of switching things over. So I would say that probably that first year, I maybe did have a little bit of an overlap in projects. And then it gradually just moved. When we got busier and busier, then I didn't need to worry about taking on the other assignments.
So you started this by yourself, correct? All by yourself, right? So at one point, have you decided to start hiring people or like get people into your business to work for you as contractors or employees? But it doesn't matter. Like you started to get help. When was that shift?
I think that was, making me think back now, I think it was about 2021. So maybe a couple of years in. And then it was when I was getting too busy. And it's that shift when you're running a business, isn't it?
That's so good when you get too busy, right?
Yeah, it's great. It's great that you're busy. But I was thinking, oh my God, you know, like pitching all these shows. I was like, I actually can't do this by myself anymore. And do you know, the first person who helped me actually was my mum.
That's amazing.
Yeah. She said, this sounds really interesting what you're doing. Maybe I could help. So for a few months, she gave me a hand and she quite enjoyed doing it. But then, you know, she couldn't keep it up really with the,
too much.
Yeah. But yeah, it was too much for her. It was too much for her. But she really enjoyed
kudos
it
to
for
her.
A few months.
If I would have my mom to help me out with all the stuff that I'm doing, she'll be like, oh, it's impossible for me to do it. Not because she's not capable or something like that, but she's running a restaurant, right? So that's a totally different thing. I mean, digital marketing and all that, computers, like she will not be able to sit in front of a computer for 10 minutes. She's that type of person.
Yeah, I think with my mum, she was just approaching that age where she was going to look to retire. So she was having, you know, she did it for a few months, but you know, she has social engagements and things like that.
What defines a good podcast guest? So let's say I want to pitch myself on podcasts. What do I need to accomplish as a guest, you know, let's say an expert in my field, to be an attractive guest for the podcast? What do I need to do?
Okay, so I would start back before you actually start pitching podcasts, because if you think about it, when you reach out to somebody, when you contact a host, the first thing, if they don't know you, the first thing they're going to do is look you up. So what are they going to see when they Google you, look you up on social media? So that's where you need to start. Is it going to be really clear to a host that you are who you say you are? Or is there going to be any doubt? So we always say to our clients, just audit your accounts, because do you have an old business that might be up on, you know, on Facebook? Or if they look at your profile picture, does it look like you? Have you got your cat? Is what they find online, is that how you want to represent yourself? So, I mean, I would say professional. Not everybody wants to come across as you know, profession. It depends what you do, but is it an accurate reflection? Are there any posts that you need to take down? Are there, you know, audit those accounts, check your privacy settings, all those things, and make sure that you can make it really easy for that connection, because trust, I think, is a big one in this world where so much of it is digital. I mean, we had a client, for example, and she had a really successful podcast. So she was getting pitched all the time. And she told me that a pitch landed on her computer and she thought, oh, this woman looks quite interesting. You know, she could be a good fit for my podcast. Googled her, went on her website, and she couldn't find the speaking engagements that the woman had mentioned she'd done. She couldn't, it caused enough doubt in her mind that this person had done all the things that she said. And she said, you know, she may have done. She just may not have put them on her website, but she couldn't see any evidence of it. And so she just passed. She was busy, you know, pitch comes across your desk, gone, you know. So that woman could have, maybe she had done all those speaking engagements, but it didn't make it easy for the host to see that and to trust.
To understand. Mm-hmm. So this is all about personal brand, basically. That's what we're talking. It's making sure that your brand comes across, you know, professional. It comes across also clear. And there's no confusion in your personal personal brand. Loads of people get this wrong. And I'm also one of those guys that I had a little bit of TV appearances here and there. But if you Google me, for example, you'll see me as Bogdan Bratis, the musician, Bogdan Bratis, the business guy, Bogdan Bratis, the podcaster. So maybe it's a good idea to kind of like define, you know, who you are exactly. So when people look you up, they can understand exactly who you are. I had a conversation with my first guest on the podcast. That was in a private conversation, and we talked about personal branding. And a lot of people forget to put their face on the business. So for example, let's say my business is called SaaSpod. If I go on SaaSpod, will I find who is the founder of SaaSpod? Will that be apparent? Or will it be somewhere buried in some sort of link? Or maybe you have just one paragraph that says you're the founder and that's it, but nothing else about you, no publications, previous shows, nothing like that. And I think that's really, really important to have a hub for your personal brand to start with, so then you can send that to your, you know, podcast that you want to pitch, and then they can see exactly who you are, what publications you had, what you are all about, the key points and all that. So yeah, that's pretty interesting. What else should we need to take care of before we actually start pitching podcasts?
Yeah. Well, as you mentioned, actually, what one of the things that we do is we put together a podcast one sheet that we send out with pitches. So there's different ways that you can do it, but that's how we do it for our clients. So what I mean by that is an interactive PDF. So on that, we include a biography that's usually about 200 words, sometimes not that long, but written in the third person, but that showcases all those things that you were mentioning, really. It doesn't have to be your whole career history, you know, not like a CV, but the things that are going to be interesting. But so that would be your place to tie it together. You know, you said, so if somebody looked you up, they would see that you were a musician, you can put all that in there. And that's interesting too, I think. We always try to show a bit of our clients' human side, what their interests are as well in that. But it's also great if you can think about topics that you can talk about when you do that. So I don't mean my journey. I mean topics that they can use, and topics that help you stand out. So if you're a coach, for example, you don't want to have a topic that necessarily another coach is down the road is going to talk about. You know, you want to make that kind of unique to you and your journey, but also it's ideal if that ties in with your goals for being a guest. So talking about that helps you showcase something that is going to help you with your purpose of being a guest. So I would say that, I mean, we can talk about that more, but basically having something like a tool like that in place before. Oh, and also that we include know, contact details and your social media links. So you make it really easy for a host to say, oh, okay, this is a picture of the client, maybe mm-hmm. match the branding. That's what we do. And you're going to help make that connection more with the personal branding. So they're going to, if they click through those links, they're going to see your social media. They're like, oh, that's Bogdan. Yeah. So he does music. So he does this. Oh, he looks cool. He could talk about this. And they're already thinking, oh, this could be an interesting direction for an interview. We could chat about this or this. And it helps it. I was talking to a host actually just last week who has a health podcast, and she had one of our clients on, and she just said to me, I love the one sheet. She said, I open that up. I go straight for the topics that you set out. And I was like, okay, I want Carol on my podcast. You know, I can see, but she said, you make it easy to say yes. And I think that's what you want to do. You've got to think, hosts often get a lot of pitches. You know, we have a podcast, and it's really the idea of it. It's some education about being a guest and the strategy. And also we invite our clients on, and that's really the main purpose. It's an additional show for them. It's also a chance to practice the topics that we help them come up with. It's not a show that I'm looking to grow, but even then I get a lot of pitches per week.
Being on that podcast. So I'm not sure if that's going to launch after the show or before, but we're going to talk about it. But that's really, really cool. Now let's look into what are the benefits of getting on a podcast. Why am I interested on getting on a podcast? What do you get out of that?
I think that this can be really misunderstood. I guess it's a newer kind of form of media, if you have it. Mm-hmm. So I would say one of the misconceptions that a lot of people have when they're thinking of, okay, I'm going to be on podcasts, they're thinking, I need to be on Oprah's show, or I need to be on Diary of a CEO for this to be of any use to me. Mm-hmm. And actually, there's so many benefits to being a guest. So yes, so I guess when people are thinking that, they're thinking, I need to reach a wide number of people. But you know, having a podcast, it's a really intimate medium. As you know, we're talking for sort of half an hour-ish. Someone's listening to that. They've got you in their ears for half an hour. You know, they could be working or driving or cleaning or whatever, running. But it's uninterrupted. You know, when you're on fast-moving social media, scrolling, and it's quick. Mm-hmm. But this is long, and it gives the listener the chance to really get to know who you are, like you, and trust you. And that's one of the things that we found with our clients. It can really shorten that sales process. Mm-hmm. It can help differentiate you in, you know, somebody can decide why you are the person that they want to work with. You know, I had another client and she loved cats. Big cat fan, really into nature. But she was a business coach. But when she was on a podcast, she was talking about her love of cats and, you know, and somebody booked a call with her and she said, I knew you were the right person for me because we both like cats.
Ah, love it. So like just sharing a little bit of that, personal story, you know, can really help, you know, people to relate to you. Actually, I had a client that booked a discovery call with me after watching a podcast, and then the first thing he said, I really loved you on that podcast. I really liked the way you talk, that you're genuine. He didn't say anything about the podcast stuff that I talked about. It was all about that he liked me as a person. So I think showing up, you know, on podcasts really helps other people to understand who you are as a person, not as just Bogdan, the business founder, whatever, or Victoria. Is more about, you know, you as a human being. And I think it's even more important nowadays with all this crazy AI stuff. So I totally get that. Let's get into the next question, which is, what are some ways? And to be honest, like, this is going to be something probably you may not give away enough. Maybe you're going to give away some, but I'm going to stop picking up on your secrets a little bit. But what are some ways you can find podcasts to pitch on? Because I find that quite difficult. Obviously, some people will try to do this DIY because they don't have the budget. Some people will come to you as the expert, and I do like 100% recommend Victoria for that. But there's some people that want to do this themselves in the beginning, at least to get, you know, the ball rolling a little bit. So how do you actually go after booking podcasts, like get yourself on podcasts?
So if you're going to look to find podcasts that you can pitch, there's lots of places that you can start. I would always recommend looking at your own network first. So who do you know in your own network that might have a podcast that might want guests? And that's also a really good idea. If you're perhaps nervous or not sure, it was great to be on a show with somebody that you know and you're comfortable with, so you can kind of find your feet. So, I mean, that can be LinkedIn. Who are you connected with? Who's got a podcast? But you also want to be thinking about who's the audience of that podcast. So if you're just starting, I think it's absolutely fine to book a handful of shows just to get into the flow of doing it, get used to it, get at ease. If you're then doing it for strategy, you want to be thinking about what shows have the audience that I am trying to reach, or if not the whole audience, an overlap of that audience. So we've talked about your network. I don't know. So if it's some of your clients, maybe they have their own show, in which case, do any of the guests that they have on their show have podcasts and might be able to do a swap? That can be a good way to find shows.
In your experience, how hard it is to actually get somebody like a podcast to reply to your email for you to pitch? Like, you pitch that podcast, out of 10 podcasts, how many will actually respond positively on you becoming a guest on that show?
I really think if you're starting this yourself and you're going to do that and you want to get one yes, I would suggest you have 10 on that list for every one yes that you're looking for, because you don't know how booked up a show is until you pitch. You don't know if they're looking at a certain theme and your theme might not be quite right for this season of the show. So many people are looking to be guests that they've often, you know, you're going to come across, well, we're booked up for 6 months, come back to us. So I would suggest, say your aim is to get on 10 podcasts, come up with a long list of 100.
Okay.
For sure. There's also Facebook groups that you can look in, find a guest, be a guest. You can find hosts that are looking for shows.
Have you ever used those matchmaking services? There are matchmakers. There are a few other ones out there. Like, do you find them useful?
I think they can be useful, honestly. It's worth having a look. It very much depends, again, what your goals are. I would say if this is going to be part of your strategy, that wherever you find the podcast host, it's a good idea before, because obviously it's an investment of your time. So as we talked about, look at the target audience. Is this show a good fit for you? Is it a good way for you to spend your time? How many episodes have been produced? There's a statistic around 20 episodes. Can't pull it for immediately what it is. But if a host has produced, 20 episodes, they are very, very likely to be invested in the show and to continue. So I would say, and certainly this is what we would do, we wouldn't be booking our clients on any show that has less than 20 episodes. Again, this is if you're at that point where it is an important part of your strategy.
Sorry to interrupt you, but the 20 episodes thing, that really sounds interesting, because that's a really good insight for podcasts themselves. If they want to find guests on their show, maybe they should have at least 20 shows to really like start getting those high profile guests you're looking for, because high profile guests may not get on your show until you hit 20 shows, 30 shows, stuff like that. So that's really interesting.
Yeah. Certainly if a host approaches us and says, do you have any clients that might be a fit? That's one of the first things that we look for. And if they're really new, I mean, it could, turn out to be a brilliant show, but we wouldn't want to waste our clients' time booking them on something, because as I'm sure you know, with your business, it's a lot of work producing a podcast, and I think it can really take people by surprise. And I say that as somebody who has a podcast who was really surprised at the amount of time that it actually takes to produce it, which I think is why there's such a high fade early on.
Yeah.
Another thing, though, that I think that you want to look for is the consistency of the episodes coming out. So we'll check the last date that the podcast was published, because you don't want to waste your time pitching a show that hasn't produced an episode in a year. You know, that's just a waste of your time. And do they produce them quite regularly? Or do they stick to, if it's weekly, is it weekly? If it's monthly, is it monthly? Again, just looking for those indicators that they're invested in the success of their show. What does it sound like? Would, you know, is it great? Is it good audio?
That's really important, you know, my opinion, because you want to get on a show that sounds good, looks good, then you can start using it. You actually gave one of my stories on Instagram a reaction as well. Literally, I was pitched by a podcast. They asked me to be a guest on their show. And in the beginning, it sounded really good, like an opportunity to get on that podcast. She was pitching it almost like we were featured on iHeartRadio and all that. And then I said, okay, let me have a look at this podcast to see what it's all about. I went on their website and YouTube channel, and to be honest, it didn't look that great. It was just an average podcast. It wasn't the podcast that I really love to be on, right? I really appreciate podcasts that put a lot of effort into creating a great experience, listening and video experience as well, watching experience. And to my surprise, trying to book that podcast, right, asked me for $200 as a fee to get on the show, which is like, what is that? You know, so I said, no, I'm not doing that. And actually, I texted her back and I told her, look, I never heard of podcasts actually charging guests to be on the show like that. And if you really want to get me on the show, you get me because I have something to say and maybe value to your audience. And then she came back almost with a sales message, and I'm like, what is this all about? I just replied back, look, I'm not interested, and that was it. But yeah, it's one of those things, you know, some people are doing this, which is not fun. So
but we'd certainly come across that. I don't think it's the best way to make money from your podcast, but I think we always say to our clients, you know, you shouldn't expect to have to pay. There's enough podcasts out there that will want to have you on as the expert to share your knowledge. It could be you might have a wish list. Some of those podcasts do charge and you have to weigh that up, but you shouldn't go into the strategy. I mean, it's different if people are paying, it's a different environment. But another thing you can do to check a podcast is this: use the search engine Listen Notes, and that will give you, they rank podcasts in, you know, up to top 10%. So if you were looking at that show that had approached you and you were trying to decide if you were going to invest, you can at least see if they've got a ranking, or because the download numbers, as we mentioned, size at the beginning, they're private to the hosts. So, you know, you can't see that, but you can gain quite a lot of information about the show just through looking them up. You know, what's the present like you did? What's the website like? Where are they sharing this show? What does the host sound like? Is this someone I can imagine having a conversation with? Do they put links? I mean, it could be some of our clients' podcast interview strategy is part of their SEO strategy. So they're coming on podcasts for those backlinks as well. So are they adding links to your sites in the show notes? You know, check all those things. But again,
that's really important. It's really important. The backlinks are quite hard to get nowadays. Not a lot of people want to backlink to you and all that. And podcasting is a great strategy to get backlinks. It takes time. It's investment of your time, but does that podcast actually give you that? You know, and that's really, really important. So you want to get on shows that maybe write an article about you. You know, it's not just the audio or the video. So that's why I encourage most of my clients to try and repurpose the content as much as possible. So you can give your business exposure, but also your guest as much exposure as possible. right? Yeah. So that's quite interesting. Do you have a process through which you actually book the guests on the podcast? Do they sign some sort of contract before they actually go on the podcast? For example, like a guest release form or anything like that. Do you see that typically happening in the industry, or is it like more of a, you know, some podcasts do that, some podcasts don't?
It's some and some. I'm trying to think. I would say that maybe it's sort of 30% of the shows we book have a guest release form.
Before we dive back into the episode, I want to give a quick shout out to SaaSPod. Not only are they the masterminds behind this podcast, but they also power dozens of other shows you know and love. SaaSPod offers a flexible pay-as-you-go podcast production service that grows with you. Whether you need help choosing the right equipment, booking guests, editing, or setting up your podcast, they've got you covered. The best part? The team at SaaSPod isn't just professional. They make the entire process fun and stress-free. If you've been sitting on a great podcast idea, now is the time to bring it to life. Visit SaaSPod.com and use the code TPF2025 to get 20% off your first production package. That's TPF2025 for 20% off. All right, let's get back into the episode. What was your biggest success in business so far, right? Maybe you booked somebody on a successful podcast, or it could be anything.
I'll probably go with the booking the podcast because that's really exciting. When I was doing this business, the client that I mentioned who had the book on leadership, one of the most surprising things that happened was I was pitching him to shows, and one of them, which was quite a big leadership company in America, just came back. So I send the pitch and the one sheet, and they came back and went, "Oh my gosh, your client looks amazing. We would like him to deliver a series of webinars for our company." And so he got a job from it, you know, and I hadn't even realized that was a possibility. Yeah. So that was really exciting. So that's definitely one of the early highs when I was realizing all the opportunities that could come. And from another one, so again, this was the same period when I was pitching, the host ran a conference. And I wasn't too aware of that at the time, but my client was a speaker as well. And so he got a speaking opportunity at this conference, and they brought in, you know, a few hundred copies of his book as well. So I found that really exciting, particularly at the beginning. And again, I think it just demonstrates what's often overlooked when people are like, "I need to be on the biggest podcast." Actually, the strategy is so important, because if you're connecting with the right people, all these opportunities can come up for you, you know, I think. So that was very exciting.
A lot of people forget that podcasting is a networking tool as well.
Yes, they do.
A lot of people forget about that, because obviously now to network with people, you can go, you know, at a networking event and you can meet a lot of people. But then after the networking event, you might want to get on a coffee with a certain person, let's say. Podcasting is a neat way to actually start interacting with that person that you may have something in common with. So it's not uncommon for somebody to have a podcast for networking purposes. I have a few clients like that where they don't even care about the growth of the podcast so much. They mostly care about the experience the guest has on the podcast, how they interact on the podcast. Where does the podcast happen? Is that happening remote, or is that in a nice studio, in a nice location, having some nice coffee? And then after the podcast, after the episode, they may talk about, you know, business or something, and maybe some collaboration can happen just because you had that episode with that person. And a lot of people forget about that. That's one of the things that you can do with your show. So pretty good.
Yep, 100%. It's so, so valuable.
Have you ever made any mistakes during your career? Obviously, we all made mistakes. I've done loads. I can share one if that makes you more comfortable sharing one of yours.
Well, go for it, but I'm happy to share.
I'll go with mine first. So early in my career, I had a client. She was a meditation coach. She would meditate and record those meditations and upload them on an app. There is an app, you know, for meditation and all that. She gave me this recording for me to clean it up, to make it sound as good as possible. And I wanted to speed up the workflow. I wanted to try a new technique to try and speed up the entire editing process to see if that works. So I tried editing the file while the file was, you know, sped up, right? And it can work. It can work, but it the way I did it was the wrong way. So what I did, I started cutting, and it was a 30-minute meditation or something like that. And then it sounded fine in my session, in my software, but once I exported, it was not good. And I actually didn't listen to it. So I sent it. I was so confident about my skills. I just sent it forward to the client, right? And then she came back to me and said, why do I sound like a Mickey Mouse? I said, what do you mean? And I said, I do understand that your recording wasn't good enough, right? And I made it sound better. Obviously, you need to record well to start with to get something good. So I started becoming a little bit defensive on the entire thing. And I told her, like, look, I do understand that it's not perfect, but it sounds much better than before. Right? No. It sounds horrible. What is this? So like, what the heck just happened? So I went back and I listened to the file, and she literally sounded like something like that, right? Because I sped up the recording and I forgot to remove some sort of setting in the software. And I literally sent her file like you would speed up the entire meditation. So instead of all being super chill and nice, yeah, everything sounded like a joke, right?
Oh my goodness.
I said, okay, it's my mistake. It was something wrong in my software. I'm just going to re-export the file again. I sent it forward to her and she was very pleased with it. And I was straightforward with her. Yeah, it was my mistake. It happens from time to time. But yeah, that was one of my funniest mistakes.
That's a funny one. That's funny.
Yeah, it was one of those things. So
like that.
Tell me if you have one story like that.
Yeah. So one of my early bookings, I was trying to arrange, so I'd had a yes for my client, and she was a psychologist and she'd written this great book on stress, and, you know, I'd found her a really good podcast, and we were trying to agree the date manually. And it was one of the first I did. And they said, is she available at 12 on this date? So I went to her, are you available at 12 on this date? Yeah, that's great. So we book it all in. I thought we were good to go. And then I had a message from them saying, where is she? I don't know. So I messaged her. Oh, what I hadn't checked was the time zone. 12 what?
Pretty common.
Yeah, she was in Seattle. I don't know. They were somewhere else in America. And there was me in the UK. And so we were all talking about different 12s. 12 what? So, I mean, you never make that mistake again. I'm not saying it doesn't get tricky sometimes, but I do love a calendar link that kind of works it out.
That was what I was about to say. I think the best way to do that is via Calendly or Tidycall or anything like that. Google Calendar, I think, works the same. Works out the time zone. But especially with the UK, we have GMT and BST.
Yes.
And that could become so confusing. I always have this problem with people in Australia, clients in Australia, only in the US. The time zone is shifting. And if we agree on something manually without using this link, it can become really frustrating.
Absolutely. We are always checking I think it's date full time converter as well, especially with Australia. I find Australia is the trickiest. But, you know, the last few weeks, so when we're recording, our clocks have just changed, but America's changed with 2 or 3 weeks before that, I think. Oh. There was a gap. So our time difference was slightly different. But like you say, the calendars can kind of deal with that if you're using the link correctly.
Yeah.
But if not,
totally understand. Yeah, that's really important, because the last thing you want is to be booked on a great podcast and then missing the podcast because of misunderstandings in terms of time zones. Yeah. Victoria, do you want to play a game? So the game has nothing to do with podcasting in terms of like the discussion we're having. It's literally random questions. I do that with a few clients, with some of my guests on the podcast, but I never done it remote. we would normally, I would have you choose the questions in the studio. I would have you literally pick up the questions, but I cannot do that here. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to pick up the question for you. So I've got...
Go for it.
The actual questions in here. So
okay.
Are you happy for me to be your, basically, your remote hand?
Yes. Yes. Right? Go for it.
So I'll do maybe two questions, okay? So let's go with the first one. I'll take this one. I'll read it for you. And then you're going to need to give me an answer to this one. So if you could instantly master one skill unrelated to your career, what would that be?
I feel like I'd like to be really good at karate. Not how, and then I could go and talk about it on podcasts. Super strong.
How come that is something that you're interested in?
I think that goes back to like the Karate Kid films when I was little. Like I just loved the films and loved how like you could be so strong and focused and all that. But I'm absolutely really not sporty or very good at anything like that. I did try going to a karate class, but it's fairly rubbish.
I never had a karate experience. The only sports I practiced was running, cycling. I go to the gym from time to time. I don't do it as much anymore. I actually haven't done it for a year because of my busy schedule. I got a really busy schedule and I don't have one very close, and I'm still learning for my driving license. So,
Yeah,
so that's one of those things that is stopping me from actually moving around too much. So yeah, that's pretty cool. Karate, very interesting question. Some people said they want to know a foreign language or speak all the languages or stuff like that. So that's quite cool.
That would be good things.
Yeah. So are you happy for me to choose another one?
Go for it, yeah. Sure.
Okay, hopefully it's nothing too outrageous. So let's see. Well, this is an outrageous one. So what's the strangest thing you've ever Googled?
Strangest thing I've ever Googled?
It could be the most unusual thing. It doesn't need to be like strange per se, but unusual thing, people that maybe don't Google that much and try to find the answer to.
Oh my goodness. I think probably I do, but this probably isn't like unusual, but you know, symptoms. I'm not feeling well. What do these symptoms mean? You know, like hypochondriac kind of Googling.
Wow, that's the worst thing you can Google, actually. Yeah, every time you Google that, you find out that you have cancer.
Exactly. It's literally like that. It's not good, is it?
You go on Reddit and everybody, like non-experts and maybe even experts, they would give their opinion and you literally find out, oh, I'm dying soon. That's what's going to happen. Yeah, I do that sometimes as well. I think Google is great because you can find answers to so many different questions, even like how to tie a shoe lens or like how to start a fire without anything, literally in the woods, like anything. I had some crazy answers to this question. This is not a crazy answer, but I will accept this one. But because it's not very strange, I will actually have you answer one more. So we'll do one more. So let's see this one. Well, I'm not sure if this is going to be a very good one for you. So let's try this one. Right, this one could be interesting. So what's the strangest thing you've ever bought or considered buying online?
Oh my goodness. I've bought so many weird things online that seem good, and then they're not. It's not particularly strange, but I bought this hair curler once. I kept seeing all the adverts for it. And I plugged it in. I used it once. Something seemed fine. My husband unplugged it and got an electric shock, and to the point it knocked him to the floor. So like, I've done bad buys online.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. What
is that? A Temu purchase?
It was something like that. Yeah. I think it was like a Facebook ad. You know, click on it, get this knocked off kind of curler thing, and came from abroad somewhere, I guess. And
So you never know what you're buying online, and you find those things that are coming from other countries. And to be honest, like this light from here, I'm just gonna take it. This one, I bought it from AliExpress. I hate anything that is AliExpress or Temu or something, but I bought it just to test it out. But to my surprise, this was pretty good quality.
Yeah.
And it does everything. It has multi, like RGB and all that. So it's quite a fun light, and I paid like just £12. So
oh, that's good.
that was an interesting purchase.
Some things are okay. I suppose over the last year, in terms of like Googling and buying, we've got a Labrador, and that was like a total learning curve. So if you check my Google history, there's going to be like, when do Labradors stop chewing? Is it okay if a Labrador eats random things, I don't know, around the house and things like that? And what I did order from Temu was like a cover for the sofa, because he digs on everything. Yeah. And like, so I was like, right, I'm going to get a cover, I'm going to protect it. And I ordered it from Temu, and it was kind of a strip of material.
It was that small.
Yeah, so small. It was like, is this for a doll's house or, you know?
What's the biggest challenge when you try to pitch somebody on a podcast? What do you find the biggest challenge in that? And also, how do you overcome it?
The biggest challenge? Well, getting the yes is a challenge. How do you stand out when you know that this host is going to be pitched in, you know, from so many different people? How do you stand out? How do you get your client seen? I think that is the biggest challenge. And some of the things that we've done is really worked on our pitches, just really worked on our pitches. So when I first started, the way I used to pitch to how I pitch now, it's quite different. And that has been through getting feedback from hosts sometimes, or from what they put up, and from being on the other side of it and receiving the pitches. Mm-hmm. Particularly, I don't know if you find this, but I can tell those really automated ones.
You can tell, obviously, from just seeing the way, like if they use seamlessly or let's delve deep into anything like that, is just signaling red flags, AI generation. I don't like that, to be honest. I think we need to put in the effort and be authentic. Generating stuff with AI, it's okay, but you need to humanize it. You need to make it to be you. It's a good tool for doing doing things faster, but you really need to put in the effort. Because if you don't show that you put in the effort, why am I going to book you, right? And that happens also when you try to, let's say, you want to pitch one of your clients, right? You want to try to get a new client. You want to send an outreach email to that person. You really need to make yourself look like a human. Especially in this day and age, they are using these automation services, which in a way, for the people that understand this, it really makes them stand out easily. The people that are doing this manually, it's easy to stand out in this crazy world.
Yeah.
You just need to be yourself. I think that's one of the things that I would advise people to do. I have a question for you. Does it matter how many followers you have on social media? Doesn't make it easier to get pitched on podcasts?
For some shows, it does. It's a combination, I would say. So it's a combination of who you are, what you're talking about. If there's like a really interesting hook on that, but some shows, they will have a form and they will make you say, you know, how many followers you've got. Because I suppose this comes from the fact that hosts are looking for amplification of their show. They're working to grow their shows. So they're interested in, if you're a guest, are you going to share the episode? Which is, I would always say, always share your episode, because that's like, you know, you're going to increase your authority with your audience. You're going to reach a wider audience. More people are going to see the episode, listen to the episode. You know, it's in everyone's interest. But I think that that's where it comes from. Like, how many people is that episode going to reach? That question. And I've worked with clients who've got, you know, a million followers on social media. And I've worked with clients who don't do social media. there are shows for both. There are shows for both. And we've got, you know, I had a client once and he'd written a book and it was about the death of his son and the lessons he'd learned from the death of his son, which is really, very, very heavy topic. But, and he was going on podcasts to have conversations about life and about death. And we, you know, he wasn't hugely active on social media.
But that doesn't matter because the story is enough.
Didn't matter. Absolutely didn't matter. You know, we got him on some great shows because the conversation, it's so interesting. So no, I wouldn't fixate on that. It's definitely not a reason not to be a guest. You can, it's, I think it's just about thinking, it's such a combination of what you've got to talk about, who you are as well, you know, but I would always say get started.
Well, Victoria, thank you so much. But before we finish the conversation, where can people find you if they want to work with you?
Okay, so the best place for people to connect with me is www.thebestpodcastguest.co.uk. And if they go to /the-pod-files, I've put together a page. And on that page, there's all the ways that we can connect. And there's also access to our podcast guest starter kit, which is quite new that we've put together. And in that, if they're looking to get on podcasts, there's advice covered sort of what we've talked about, but you know, where they can find the right shows. There's even a list of 10 included with contact details. We've got our free Canva one sheet template that they can use if they want to start setting up their template, checklist for when they get booked on shows that our clients use. So yeah, I'd suggest people go there.
I love that. I love that. Awesome. So guys, make sure you check Victoria out. If you really like this podcast, I would appreciate if you give it a like, a comment. Maybe Victoria, she's going to engage with you as well in the comments as well. If you have any questions for her about podcasting, about, you know, pitching yourself on podcasts, leave those in the comments. Also subscribe to our YouTube channel. It's really important. It's a new podcast and you know, guys, how hard it is to grow a YouTube channel nowadays. So really important to hit that subscribe button and the bell as well. And obviously on the audio podcast, follow us on Spotify, iTunes, and all, whatever you listen to your podcast as well. And check the audio podcast as well. Even though you're watching this as video, check the audio podcast because we actually publish extra content there. So sometimes we create some solo podcasts with some insights about the episodes and all that. So definitely check that out. Thank you so much for joining and I'll see you on the next podcast episode. Thank you so much. Bye.